All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Time now for Coming in Hot. With Brent Wallace and former Ottawa Senators Bobby Ryan and Jason York.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Coming in Hot. Brent Wallace alongside Pindick Jason York and one Coming in Hot Bobby Ryan.
Oh, there we go. Sorry. A couple extra lights for us. There we go.
How's everybody doing today?
Everybody over here is phenomenal. How are you doing?
I'm great. Great.
Well, I could be a grandfather. I could be a grandfather by this evening, fellas. My
did you hear that?
My daughter is gone to the hospital, so we'll see. I've got the phone ready, waiting for the call. So we'll see what happens.
Good luck. Keep us posted.
Yep.
Do we have Bobby? Do we have to get him a gift?
No. No. Is that the first grandkid?
Number one.
That's awesome. Congrats, man. That'd be
thanks,
cool.
Man. Yeah, do you know what I'd love, Wally? Because you like a nice matching shirt or hat for my shirt. You see this, Bob? Or this for you today.
I just got a great text from Jason York. So I think it was delayed, but...
Well, nice to see both of you. I have been on Twitter all day, so I don't know what's going on. We'll start the show with, hey, the Sens are in Minnesota, looking to win six in a row. The last time Bobby Ryan was on the roster, that's how long ago it was.
It's been a minute. That's a really hard building to win in. I got to be honest. I don't get... Minnesota is the only city that you can be in, actually Winnipeg too, that you never have to go outside. You get it? Like you walk under, underneath the city and then you're in the rink and all of a sudden you're like, I haven't been outside in 2 days.
I never made that. I don't think I knew there was a path.
So you go from the St. Paul Hotel down two floors and then walk underneath and then you're in the Excel Center. Yeah.
I never knew this.
Yeah. Well,
I was outside in February in St. Paul.
You're just trying to get the shot.
Do you remember? Do you remember that trip? It was trade deadline. Andy was supposed to come back in the Winnipeg game and didn't. But we went from Minnesota to Winnipeg.
Not really. I guess I don't remember it, but like I always remember Winnipeg. Minnesota more than Winnipeg, because you're just like you're underground the entire time. You never have to go outside.
Wow.
Never go outside. Yeah.
I meant to check in with Angus to see where they went for dinner last night, but I did not get to I didn't get to it. But we'll try. I'll ask him later. All right, boys. By the way, you know what, Gavin? Just go to it right now. Betway. So our lock of the day, we'll pick it later, but there's a stat on there that says Ottawa in Minnesota. Just put it up.
Oh, there you go.
Please. Okay. They're 11-1-1 in their last 13 versus Ottawa overall, 7-2-2 in their last 11 at home overall. It's a struggle for Ottawa to win in Minnesota. They're 0-5-1 in their last six. Like, when you talk about it being a struggle, it's a struggle.
I don't know. I feel like they're on, like, I mean, obviously they're on a great path right now. They're winning games. Oh, yeah, man. Can you put that back up one more time? Sorry, Gavin. 7-2-2 last 11 home games. Like, so are we just doing lock of the day? Are we going?
No, right there? You just brought up the home record. I just wanted to show you, like, I just wanted to reiterate your point about how hard it is to win there. That was all. Yeah. We'll get to lock of the day later in the show.
Well, that actually makes me feel better, because I thought that I had less room to play with, but I'm 33-17. I'm good.
Yorkie's at your heels. Yorkie's going to have to pick whatever you don't today.
I think I'll just pick whatever Yorkie's picking for the rest of the way.
So Bob will go first down the stretch.
That's how it.
We'll do this. Yeah. Speaking of, these two teams meet for the first time since Sweden back in November 18th. Ottawa with the shootout winner, Josh Norris with the shootout win. With the shootout winner. Interesting. Both teams have changed coaches since then.
Yeah. Hey, did I just notice?
No.
The Sens are creeping up on becoming a 500 hockey team. Like, that's something right there. Three games.
But the problem everybody has with it, Yorkie, is we've seen this down the stretch.
Hell,
I don't want them to be this fire fucking wagon team at the last 10 games of the season.
They're always a wagon last 10 games. Everyone's rolling. Loosey-goosey, confident goalies start playing well. And then they just, it's a teaser.
Yeah. Michael Gribben, fake 500.
Yeah. Fake 500. I actually kind of took a bath for saying this, but I was like, it's easy to play when you have nothing to play for.
We say it every year at this time.
Yeah.
We're talking about always being the killers, right? The teams that are always trying to get into the playoffs, and Ottawa coming by and winning these games.
Yeah.
Dashing this playoff folks.
This team can't even tank right.
I will say this. So I like what's being added to the fold down the stretcher. Like, I've been impressed with Tyler Cleven his last couple games. I've been impressed with how Angus Cruikshank skates, how he competes, how he adds something. I've been impressed with the goaltending for once this year. So there's some signs. Listen, it's all we got, right? These are the games. They play them. You evaluate. But there's going to be some, a major decision has to be made on Eric Brännström.
No, there doesn't.
Yes, there does.
What do you mean? What are you doing? What language are you speaking?
What do you like?
Why are we not just moving on? How is there a decision to be made now?
Well, there's a decision to be. Are you moving on or are you not moving on? Like, that's what the new regime is going to have to decide.
But so
you're in the moving on camp?
And he looks so good.
I'm undecided. What are you talking about?
He's so good right now.
I know, but all season, but they don't have to win anymore, Bob. All season long, we have talked about Eric Brännström is in the wrong spot on this roster. And now suddenly we need to make a decision on him. No, we don't.
But let me throw a
curveball. That's what Tyler Cleven is for.
Let me throw a changeup at you here. What if they decide to move one of either Chychrun or Shabbat? Then a left shot puck moving slot kind of opens up on the back end. So, you know, the NHL defensemen don't grow on trees, and I'm not saying Brännström is, and I'm just making the case. I'm playing devil's advocate. As you just told me, they're moving on from Brännström. You're not a Brännström fan. I get it.
That's all you said all season. And now suddenly we're going to have a debate.
No, no, you're missing what Yerky is saying.
I want to get Branny Nation coming down on Wally Hurd. No. They've been quiet all year.
Want to get on the brand wagon?
The brand wagon. No, the point is, if you move, which I think there's a possibility of either Chychrun or Shabbat, who's slotting into your left side? You know, he could be a number five, a four. I'm just saying there is a possibility that happen.
What? Look at Wally panicking right now.
I know. Blows my mind.
Wally, if you move Shabbat or Chychrun, who are you putting in?
Yeah.
You have to find somebody. No, you have to elevate him because we've watched him play as a top four at the moment right now. Like right now, he's a player. We've never said anything other than the fact that he was miscast, right?
Yes.
Yep. Yeah.
But if you want to be a playoff hockey team, is Erik Brännström on the top four going to do that for you?
You're not listening to what Bob. Hold on.
Okay, just wait a second. We're not just answer the question. You just said no. Let me finish it. I'm going to follow up.
Expand your mind here.
Hang on. So you said he's not a top four on a playoff team. We've said all season he's not a bottom pair because he can't move people. He's not big enough or physical enough. So he doesn't have a spot on the roster. Why are we discussing this?
With Shabbat and Chychrun on the team. But he potentially could if one of those guys removed. He's miscast as a penalty killer. The only way you keep Brännström on your team is if he's going to somehow be on your second power play unit and he's going to get offensive looks. Up until this point, the guy doesn't get offensive looks. He's in like a role he shouldn't have been in for the last 2 years. So that's why he looks terrible. And now, hey, surprise, Shabbat's hurt. Brännström plays more. He looks pretty good. Like
he's like, I don't think it's a secret that to me, Ottawa's defense has to get bigger. Right.
Oh, for sure.
Like, so if you think of 1-2, I always think of it like this: 1-3-5, right? And then 2-4-6. And 2-4-6 are complements to what 1-3 and 5 are. To me, Jake Sanderson is an absolute one, right?
Yep.
But we're talking about a team that has already established Thomas Shabbat as a one. So then you're thinking about like, what's three? Yeah. It's not 2-4-6. It's not 1-2-3-4. It's 2-4-6. And I just want the people to compliment them.
Yeah.
And if you're thinking about it, I agree with us saying that Brännström could probably be a three. Really, when you think about it, but he's not going to be that here because of Sanderson, Shabbat, and Chychrun, and then Zub, and
yeah,
et cetera. I don't know what you do with them.
Yeah. Do you know what needs to happen for the Ottawa Senators? The Winnipeg Jets need to lay an egg in the first round.
Get the mellow.
To get the mellow at a very... I watched him in the game, and he's everything they need back there. He's so predictable in a good way. He gets the puck, he moves it, he blocks shots, he's got a good stick, he's smart. Good room guy from everything you've told me, Bob.
Phenomenal guy. Yeah.
That's the perfect guy. So, yeah. Ottawa fans, you need Winnipeg to lose in the first round. Get them so they're going to make changes, because you don't bring back UFAs when you lose in the first round. Then Ottawa signs them. Perfect storm. Yeah. That's the guy they need.
Okay. I would overpay for a DeMelo.
Yeah. 100%. And listen, and but I'm and
imagine, and like, I, imagine your that? Sorry, your right side is Zub and DeMelo. Like that's that's a great one too on the right.
Yeah.
And then you can have Chabot and you can have Chikrin and they can do their thing. Well, Sanderson more than any of them. Clevin's ready to go though. I like him.
I like me too. Yeah. I like him a lot. And I was just playing devil's advocate with Brännström. Like if it was up to me, I would try and move him at the draft. I just think he needs to go somewhere where he's gonna play. I'm just making the argument, but I would be in the camp for moving Brännström. And this is a good thing that he's playing well right now. It's great because he's not a UFA. He's an RFA. You control the asset. The better he plays right now, there's a chance maybe you get something of value back for him. And I would probably move. I'm just saying he's played well lately. He's just been totally miscast here in Ottawa. And it becomes so glaring when you watch him and they put him into spots where he can showcase what he's not a penalty killer and he's not a friggin' boxer outer.
We're just going to leave it at Rick's comment and we're moving on because I'm tired of the Brännström discussion. What are Yorkie and Bobby smoking today? Brännström discussion is nuts. And so with that,
it's crazy.
Well, like, clarify, what do you mean?
We've discussed Brännström all season.
I know. He's polarizing.
Yeah, he's a
terrific
defenseman down the stretch when nothing means anything.
He's a
good player.
He would light up the Swiss League, man. You put him on that Olympic size ice, he'd be unbelievable.
Yeah.
What a lot, like just eating, having wine. Right, cheese, wine, wheeling around. Oh God, what a life!
I don't know where we're going with that, but
okay. It's so good over there.
Oh man, I will just say this though: Tyler Cleven is ready to go. Like he's.
I agree.
Okay, so there was somebody in the chat who just asked, "Could you put Cleven and Bernard Docker together as a shutdown pair?" And I think they're too young to be together.
Yes, yeah. I would agree with that. I think that Tyler Cleven is going to be phenomenal in that role, but he's not there yet. Give him another.
Right, like they both need to be paired with a veteran-ish person.
Yes, yeah, I would agree with that. Yeah,
the game's gonna slow. This has been really good for Bernard Docker this year. He's made some mistakes. He's made some good plays. I'm going to tell you the experience he's gained from this year. He's going to have a full summer. One thing he does need to improve on, he needs to get stronger on his stick. He just needs to play with what I call a heavy stick, where you don't, like when you go into those battles, you just see guys that have experience, been in the league for a long time, defensemen. That stick is just, like they win battles in the corner and you just learn. It just takes time, but he's interesting. I'm really interested to see how Bernard Docker starts the year next year because I think the game's going to slow down for him a bit.
I just can't believe you guys have ignored Travis Hamonic for so long.
Hammer? He's had a great career.
Let's not take liberty. He's had a guy that's had a great career. Exactly. Travis Hamonic, when he was with the Islanders, was phenomenal. The game's passed him by. We've all gone through that. But I do want to say that I think that Tyler Cleven is going to be phenomenal on the penalty kill.
Yeah. What's he clock in at? Is Cleven 6'4"?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's you can't teach what they call long, right? All NHL scouts, they're looking for long D guys, long sticks, long reach, take up space. It's just physics. Like when he goes into the corner and he's being chased down, he can just put the puck over here, take the hit, and let his partner come and get it, where Brännström can't do that. If he does that, he's getting smoked. It just doesn't.
Someone's putting this on their back.
It doesn't work.
I just think the way he moved, and he hit somebody the other night that I was like, that's like a great closeout hit. But when you're six, whatever he is, and you have that weight, and you hit people, they remember it, right? Yorkie.
Oh yeah.
He's
leaves
he's,
a mark.
I don't think that the Suns have had a player since
probably meth, Philly, maybe.
Maybe.
Oh, meth, yeah.
Meth, like meth was heavy, big ass.
Played a heavy game.
Yeah. And when meth hit you, you knew it, right? I think the same can be said of what I think Tyler Kloven is going to be. So
meth had that like centaur body, right?
Yeah.
Built like the centaur, just a huge, huge ass.
Yeah, dude. And that guy could skate all day, right? I don't know if Tyler is as good a skater as meth. I don't know that, but
yeah, meth could wheel.
Yeah. But when
you should see,
but like that, like I'll never forget playing against meth when he was in Columbus. And I'm like, he's on your back, you know, right? Like,
yeah.
The Sens don't have anybody that can do that. And Tyler could absolutely do that. Like you know 100%. That guy's on your back. You know that he's right there.
It's a big hole in the lineup right now. And you got a guy that can hopefully, he needs a huge summer, huge summer. Probably a good idea if he stayed here, stay in town. Man.
They had, by the way, Eric Goodbranson as someone. And he just didn't work out here. But there has been a couple guys. I think of Braden Coburn. Again, he was here for like 3 seconds.
They just kind of, I don't know. They just kind of miscast guys for a couple of years there.
Yeah. They just couldn't find a fit. I know what they were trying to do is add some veterans, as we keep talking about, like the Derek Stepan, Cedric Paquette. There was just, it just, who none was, of them seemed to make any sense.
Who was, oh, Josh Brown,
Mike Riley, not a big guy, just another defenseman they brought in as a veteran.
Yeah. Mike Riley was good. Like that. He was good. I would love to see. So it was Chris Schwartz when I was there, right? And like guys would stay in town because of Schwartzy. And I don't know what they're, I think Robbie Moulin's probably in charge of it now. Who is
Matt Nichol. Yeah, Matt Nichol. Didn't they just hire Matt?
I don't know.
Yeah, Matt's overseeing all the strength sports science department.
Yeah.
Yeah, real smart.
But you can oversee that. Like you can go home and you can have the same thing. Like Chris Schwartz used to come visit me 3 times a summer, obviously.
Oh, did he come back? He went to your place?
Oh yeah. Well, and then they all started fighting over who got to come to Jackson Hole. Or Coral Lane, because they were like, this place is incredible. Yeah, we'd love to go see Bobby. But that being said, Tyler Clevin's a specimen. I don't think he has to worry about being in front of those guys every day, is what I'm saying, right? Like, I had to worry about that. Those guys don't. I had to worry about
them. You were the guy they had to fly in to see in the summer.
Oh yeah. No, they basically lived at my house. And then on top of it, the absolute other side of it was Craig Anderson, where they were like, "Hey, Bobby's eating chicken and nothing," and would send pictures of Craig Anderson eating Oreos. I hated him. I'm like, I hate you guys.
I played with Mark Savard was the same. The trainers had to fly and see him too. Make sure he was working out.
I saw something in our chat that said Shabbat should get stronger because he's fragile. He's not fragile. Actually, Thomas Shabbat is... He's not fragile. He had a bad, he caught a rut and broke his leg. It's not fragile. He caught a rut and then he's been on the injury train. That kid was 19 years old playing 26 minutes a night. There's nothing fragile about Thomas Shabbat. No.
But he plays, and we all think that because he gets hurt that he's fragile. He takes an awful lot of pounding.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's nothing fragile about him. I would actually venture to say that he's top 5 that I've ever seen. Stability wise and like injury prone or whatever.
Mean pain tolerance?
Yes, he's just unlucky. He caught a rut and broke his tib. Like, what do you do with that, right?
Yeah. That's bad luck.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, moving on. We got to get some work done here. First of all, let's take care of some business. This show always proudly presented by our good friends at Betway. Bet your way with Betway. Must be 19 plus. Please play responsibly. Go to betway.ca. Lock of the day coming up later.
As well as our good friends at BEI, Bonisher Excavating, the heavy civil general contractor in both the public and the private sectors. So when planning your next project, consider them for your aggregate supply needs. You can find them at bonisherexcavating.com or at 613-432-1120. BEI is always helping to shape the Ottawa Valley.
And named Canada's best mattress once again by Canadian Living, Douglas Mattress. Unrivaled comfort, feel, motion isolation, sleeps very cool and relieves those pesky pressure points. Loved by more than 200,000 Canadians and over 10,000 five-star reviews. You can order it very easily online and usually get it in 1 to 4 business days. Every mattress order comes with that free comfort sleep bundle, pillows, sheets, and mattress protector. You can order your Douglas today. Don't wait. Start your 365-night sleep trial by visiting douglas.ca/CIH.
And, of course, by Wendy's, our good friends. Go to Wendy's. Go to Daily Faceoff and join the Wendy's Daily Faceoff Survivor Pool. The only thing sweeter than the taste of victory is starting your day with the new Cinnabon Bullet Bites from Wendy's. They are delicious. But there's no reason you can't have both now. Wendy's and Daily Faceoff Fantasy are giving you a chance to win weekly prizes all season long. So, hey, even if you make a few wrong picks, or at least you know heading to Wendy's right now for a $5 Cinnabon Pull-Apart and a small coffee is a fantastic choice. Sign up for the Daily Faceoff Survivor Pool today, sponsored by Wendy's and the Wendy's app. Time for Did You Know? With their win in Winnipeg on Saturday, the Sens earned their first win against a Western Conference opponent this season. The only time the Sens failed to win in the West was their inaugural season, which the team managed just one road win all season. They went 1-41. By the way, NHL record for most losses in one season, 41.
Wow.
Did you imagine how painful? Like, we had Jamie Baker on the show just talking about how painful that was.
Yeah, I love Bakes. Yeah, that's crazy, the amount of losses they had that year. Just, I got lots of time for Bakes. He's one of the smartest guys when you ever want to talk hockey about. So great broadcaster too, Jamie Baker, by the way.
So side note is I've used him this year to break down video for my kid because I've known Jamie of how smart he is.
Yes.
And he wrote like 3 pages. I'm like, Jamie, can you just take a look at this? And he wrote like 3 pages. He's got arrows pointing to video.
Of course he did. Of course he did. Yeah. Awesome. Awesome guy.
But how's the lightning storm? Oh,
you're muted. Bob's mic. You're muted, Bob.
Best part of the show.
Yeah. Apologize, guys.
He's back.
It's actually really, like, really heavy. Yeah. So.
Now, would you get to where it's tornado sirens or whatever?
Yeah, yeah. We had them go off 2 hours ago.
So, oh, really? Boy.
Yeah.
Do you have a basement, like a whatever you call the fallout shelter, whatever it is?
No, not here at this house, no. So you kind of like go into a central room. So we'll sit in the kitchen underneath something. But sorry to run off, but it's what just happened.
That's crazy. I remember when I was living in Nashville, the same thing happened, a tornado warning, and one came right through our neighborhood. I could actually hear it going over our house. Like, it was nuts. But we didn't have a basement either. You have these little, I don't know what you call them, little storage areas you can kind of go in. But
yeah,
it's, the weather can get nuts there.
Yeah. I follow somebody on Twitter called Nashville Severe Weather or whatever. And they were like, it's 2 hours away from now, but I've never actually looked out my front yard. I'm looking just beyond us. It's pretty bad out. Yeah.
Oof. Will you get hail?
No hail. But yeah, they basically like, every single school has let out, and then every single business, like, and I get my phone, obviously, everything's shutting down, all the business, everything. Yeah.
Well,
we're in for the day.
So Yorkie, you have no excuse if your internet is crappy anymore.
Yeah. Nothing.
No, I'm good. I'm good. I'm good. Hey, although, hey, you heard we're getting friggin' snow on Thursday.
Today or Wednesday. Sorry. It's no, gonna start Wednesday. 20 to 25 centimeters. I'll convert that for you, Bob. It's 6.5 feet.
Oh no! Oh my goodness!
And then
it's like plus than a foot of snow, but
and plus 18 on the weekend. Are we getting almost a foot?
20 to 25 centimeters.
Oh my
There's
goodness!
No way! It's
insane. Bob. Did you ever figure out Fahrenheit and Celsius?
No, no, no. Everything in our house ran on Fahrenheit. And like, it's ass backwards because everything else in the world runs on metric, right? So
yes.
Oh yeah.
So in 1980, you were supposed to switch to the metric system, and Ronald Reagan, if I'm not mistaken, became the president and nixed the deal, something to that effect.
My man,
you guys were supposed to start.
Hey, I don't ever actually check this, but Chris Fortin on our, I think I'm on like Facebook chat or whatever. Had said something that was really, really good. If you have to have a conversation between Shabbat and Chikrin, I don't want to get into that, but I do think that he was incredibly correct when he said he was overused and he became the whipping boy over time. Horribly overused. Horribly overused. And that's why you bring in a Shabbat, or I'm sorry, that's why you bring in a Chikrin, right? And a Sanderson, who you drafted. Shabby is playing very, very good hockey right now, to me. And Yorkie, you can elaborate on this whatever you want, but I think that Shabbat was horribly overused.
Yeah, I'd agree. Here's one for you, boys. I agree with that. Who is this? Who is the current whipping boy for the Ottawa Senators? Is there one? There's a question.
Well, it depends on what day it is.
I was gonna say.
So, but over when you throughout this, no, throughout this season, who's
when you lose all season though, everybody at some point is in the crosshairs, right? Like we picked on Tim Stützle, you picked on Drake Batherson, Claude Giroux gets a pass because he's the ultimate veteran. Yeah. Shabbat, Chikrin, Zub has been talked about. The goalies, obviously, then Brännström, JBD, like. JBD's been a healthy scratch. Matthew Joseph, we like everybody has come up. Mark
Josh Norris
has come under it, like right, like yeah. Josh Norris. He's too soft. Got like,
I would say the whipping boy this year. The consistent whipping boy has been Korpisalo. He's been the whipping boy this year.
But he earned that. Like,
oh
like,
yeah,
I just, no, they he, yeah, and well him, earned. Him and Forsberg well earned. Fought it for it. They fought to be the worst.
Yeah.
But hey, he's 6-1 in his last seven. So here we go.
It was a hell of a pillow fight. no, I think the only person that we actually really watched happen was Josh Norris because they're like, he's not playing up to the contract. And I'm like, the guy missed a year of hockey. Give him a second. And then he got a little better and then he got hurt again. And man, that was too. He's been the guy that didn't earn it. Yeah. As opposed to the guys that did earn it, which are the goalies. Like, the goalies are horrible. Like, there's no way around that. They were horrible.
Okay. Now, but here's the chicken or the egg situation. Were they just horrible because they had a defense in front of them that had no idea what they were doing for a long time? So, like, my point is, these guys are in the National Hockey League. And Korpisalo, you can look at his numbers. They're not horrible in his career. So did he suddenly just become a really bad goaltender in Ottawa? I don't think so. That's why I'm like, the system, it was as much a fault as it was for their play.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
I think that Corpy got exposed.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Not being great, but at the same time, man, remember when we talked about like the first 20 games of the year? He was asked to save 10 bellers and like
Every period.
Yeah. Yeah. and I think that he's okay, but like when you factor it all in, there's no reason why they're winning right now except for the fact that they're playing better outside of him. Corpy can make the first save, but if you're asking guys to make 10 bellers right down the pipe every single day, Nogle is going to look good. Like,
that's my point.
Look at Cam Talbot.
Yep.
He's an all-star.
And they couldn't wait for him to leave Ottawa.
Right.
Yeah. There's,
but when you deflect to the outside, it changes everything, doesn't it, Yorkie?
Well, there's obviously something to be said for goalies that have played here throughout the last whatever 5 or 6 years, and then what happens while they're here and when they leave. It can't just be a coincidence. Like, there's obviously something to it.
Yeah.
But all right, go ahead.
But no, there's something to that. But I also agree too, and that playing in a Canadian market is very difficult for goaltenders. I saw it when Gerber came here. Like, he was so good in Carolina. And that it's a total different mentality. There's way more pressure. Uh-huh. And you're way under the microscope. And I look at where Corpusalo played before he got here. He played in Columbus and he played in LA. Two very different markets in Ottawa. Then you just can't get away from the noise here. Does that have everything to do with it? No, but I think it has a little bit to do with it, because it's a different kind of pressure.
First of all, the career high for him was 35 starts.
Yeah, there's that. Right? I think it's a magnitude of reasons. If you are a goalie,
your entire career has been under the microscope. There isn't one season where you're not looked at as either you win or you lose. It's the only position in hockey where you get tagged with wins and losses. Yeah. So I don't buy it's too tough to play in Canada. Every time you're on the ice, you are a focal point.
It's not that it's too tough. It's some guys thrive under it. Some guys wilt under it. That's just the way it's always
Philadelphia, Boston, Philadelphia, Detroit,
same thing.
Washington.
100%. It's the expectations are higher, because here, when you're at the rink, you exude or you put out so much energy, and you have to have downtime. When you get away from it. And I just think some markets, some guys can handle it and some guys can't. It's always been that way. And like when I played in Anaheim, there's no pressure whatsoever. there is just like, it's great if you're a goalie,
Okay, how many times have you seen a clip from Jonas Korpisalo being questioned about his game? Not very many. He doesn't get asked very much about his game.
It's not even like, listen, reporters give themselves too much credit for what happens after. It's the whole encompassing thing of the city, the energy, the vibe. There's just a total different energy when you play in a hockey market, and you can't escape it. You can't. And some are bigger than others. And I really believe it, especially with goalies. Some goalies just can't play in tough markets, and that's just the way it is.
Yeah. I agree with that. And I actually never really have the chat up, but I do today. Because I was still
have you had enough of social media?
Yeah.
No, get cooking.
I got 10 acres. I wouldn't pay to watch them on one. But
Wally, you're stirring the pot.
Rick was, sorry, I'm going back up. A couple of people had said, hey, like, would you bring Craig Anderson back in a goalie role or whatever? And Craig is very, very happy doing that for Buffalo. Craig went on to found, like, he went and found a home in Buffalo. Like, that was, like, it just made sense to him, the people that he was around, whatever. And it's not a goalie coach. It's not anybody that's going to tell you put your paddle down or anything like that. It's just a mentality, isn't it? Like, it's just a mentality. Craig Anderson was able to play because he didn't give a shit. And I think that's very rare. I think those guys like they hear things and you start to hear things differently. It's hard to play goalie in Canada, isn't it?
Look at Toronto. Like, no. How many goalies have they got? Yeah, it is. It's just when you get pulled, when you get pulled in a game in Anaheim. I'll use Anaheim for example. The next game when you're playing again, nobody in the stands remembers it.
True.
It's
true. Yeah.
Where everybody in the stands in an auto where they were dissecting the game, you're analyzing the game. People know hockey here. It's just, it's different. And that's why it's tough if you're a goalie, unless you're good and you can handle it, then it's great.
I think they made a major mistake in a 5-year deal.
What did you say, Wally? I want a replay on that. Oh,
I would never, if I was a person that was in charge of bringing personnel in, you can't, you have to go year to year on goalies unless you're Carey Price, different. But like, look at Toronto's goalies. They're year to year. Like, it's the same thing, right? Matt Murray, Korpisalo, just can't do it. You can't win like that. I mean,
who gave
he wants to leave. Like,
who gave him the
Korpisalo is going to be like, hey, somebody wants to take on your contract, and he goes, yep. Doesn't matter where it's at. Like, he's going to, right?
Yeah.
I don't want a guy that's not mentally tough who can't play in the softest market in Canada.
But you don't know that until they're there.
You're a goalie. There's no pressure. There's no game that you haven't felt pressure in. You're at least, you should be feeling pressure every game. It shouldn't be any different when you step on the ice in Ottawa as it is in Carolina. The expectations are the same. I want you to win this game.
Yorkie. Back me up here. It's just different.
Yeah. I can tell you when I came home and I played in Ottawa, I was nervous because a little different for me because I knew people watching. You don't want to screw up. You want to play well. You put a little more pressure on yourself versus if you're in an obscure place and nobody knows you or really cares. There's just such a care for the game here. People care about the game here. They want the team to do, listen, people want this team to do so well. And it's a fabric of the community. It's not like that in other places. That's just the way it is. I don't know how to drill this through your head. And that's when people care that much, you don't want to let them down. You just don't. At least that's how I was.
But not everybody's built that way. And you're from Ottawa. It's completely different. A lot of guys just roll through here, take the check, and go the fuck home.
And that's why they don't do well.
And now we're seeing it.
Yeah.
I don't think Jonas Corposello gives one fuck about the NHL in Ottawa. I don't think he cares about the fans one second. I just think he wants to play and go home.
I would say he cares about his teammates. He cares about winning.
Fine.
He cares about doing well. Does he care about hockey? I would say that's a little bit unfair. I would say obviously he doesn't know people here, but it's a different pressure when you're in a place where people are passionate. Like I'll take guys that play in Green Bay. Like you can't tell me that's not a different feeling than playing in some other football markets.
So yeah, every player in the National Hockey League.
I don't think that's fair, Wally. Only because when you're in the room and you have those guys that you're looking across from and you're like, he cares.
He cares about his team. I will say that every time.
Yeah.
I don't think they care about the city in which they play in a lot of times. That's my point. Mm-hmm. So if you're taking a contract in Canada and you don't understand already that there's some kind of pressure, then that's your fault to begin with. Somebody should be telling you it's a little different than Columbus, young fella. Yeah.
Nobody else was giving him a 5-year deal.
Well, so, then, Yorkie, then you deal with it.
I think that Yorkie and I should run a team because it'd be fun. But at the same time, Yorkie, I would never give a goalie more than 2 years.
Well, no, but look who the guy who was making decisions here was, I don't even know what to say.
He was a fan. But like legitimately, if you're building a team, right, and you have, Shabbat, Chychrun, Sanderson, Kachuk, Stutzla, like you're looking at these things, I would never give a goalie. Never, never give a goalie more than 2 years. Unless it was Carey Price or Jonathan Quick or Ryan Miller. Like you have outliers for sure. But how many teams can say that their best player was their goalie? Not many in history.
Especially
like,
nowadays.
Like go through especially the whole
nowadays.
Thing.
Yeah. Especially
now when you use them both.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's totally different. Totally different.
It's
all the more reason to give a guy a 5-year deal.
That's just, yeah.
Where's the gift with the motorcycle?
Are you moving to it? Hey, are we you and me? New team in Atlanta?
I'd love it.
They wouldn't love us down there, buddy.
Oh God. Let's go.
Yeah.
Well, you can be our media relations guy.
No, not after my last 24 hours.
No, I will. Anyway, we're moving on. I would just delete
cooking it up.
This show proudly delivered by DoorDash as we're moving on to some positive news. Get everything you need even at the last minute. For a limited time, our listeners get 25% off, zero delivery fees on their first order, $15 or more. When you download the DoorDash app, enter code NATION25, all uppercase letters. 25% off, up to a $10 value, zero delivery fees in your first order when you download the DoorDash in the App Store. Enter code NATION25, offered valid in Canada, subject to change, terms apply. Going into tonight's game, Tim Stützle needs one assist for a new career high, which would give him 52 on the year. He has, the third most assists of any player in franchise history under the age of 23, and he doesn't turn 23 until January next year. So there's a chance he will flirt with the top of this list.
Very good chance.
Really good chance. We've talked about how special he is, but he's kind of like, he's kind of flown under the radar. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yes.
Because
you know why? I feel like people are, the stuff on the ice, whether it's the falling, the complaining, whatever, takes away from his game.
I know that I've texted both of you guys like in private about this, and I was like, he's got to stop with a couple different things. There's a little bit too much drama for me sometimes as a player, but it does not take away from the fact that he is like we are watching a special player, and he just continues to build point. Like I think it was a week ago, He had 3 assists, and I was like, he was terrible tonight. And he had 3 assists.
It's amazing, though, right?
He's unbelievable. Yeah. Yeah, we're just watching a we're watching a special player kind of take over.
Do you know we you know what continues to amaze me when I watch him play? It's expected when he gets the puck. Let's say he gets the puck around his own blue line. We've watched a few of these clips where he just creates ice somehow for himself. It's like, oh, I'm gonna like cross over here and stick handle over here, do it at full speed, make a huge move here that maybe 5 guys in the league could do right now. And now it's just people, like, we watch it and I think people take it for granted, some of the little things he does that don't even involve getting points or goals or assists. It's his ability to carry the puck through traffic and in tight spaces. It's just crazy that some of the stuff he can do.
I will say I've never been on the ice with him, but watching him on his edge, like, I don't know that, and I would love to skate with him just to see it and feel it, Yorkie. But I don't know that I've ever seen anybody, and that's a big statement. Better on their edges.
Who in the league right now, if you think of guys that are great on their edges, that just have that? It's the change of direction that he has, like the little tight space change of directions that he could do at very high speeds.
Because
Hughes is like, they're pretty similar.
Yeah,
they're just so nifty and tight, and not afraid to try stuff.
Who?
Yeah,
Matt Duchene. When you play, you would have played with him in Ottawa.
Was he? Yeah.
Not even close. Not even close.
Really? Because people always talk about how he can work his way out of a phone booth.
No,
not like this guy.
Please don't discredit Matt Duchene because I think he's phenomenal. Yeah, not even close. The way that Timmy can stop on a dime and kind of move through traffic, I don't think Matt has that. And I don't think I'm doing Matt a disservice.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
It's, you're talking about different. Skating through the game as opposed to just down low and in the corner.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, Matt could put you on his back and move off of it. So can Timmy, but Timmy does it at a different level of
he's like
I don't know how to describe him. Jack Hughes is the only guy that I can think of.
He's like an ice dancer. It's like he's just
he's like all that thing about a slap shot. Move your ass. Trevor Zegras.
Okay.
But differently.
Connor? I mean, McDavid's in a whole different world, I suppose.
He's just
honestly, Connor glides faster than Timmy skates, and that's not a discredit to him. I just think when you like really break Timmy's slow down, you have Trevor Zegras with the creativity, Hughes with the skating. But I also think that he's got a lot of power in his legs. Does that make sense? So he can he can get north, he's more quick than Nathan MacKinnon in that sense. But yeah. I really think he's in a league of his own.
So here's a question for you too, and that's, he plays with an elite level amount of confidence, right? Like, he thinks he can do anything on the ice, which I'm full marks for that. Is there anybody, either one of you, have played with that comes with that kind of confidence?
Different position, different era, but Paul Coffey.
I knew Paul Coffey was coming.
Oh God, this guy.
Scott Niedermayer.
Yeah. Oh yeah. What a skater, eh?
I'll never forget it. I actually won't ever forget like the time it happened when we all went up the ice, right? Getzlaf, Perry, and I, arguably the best line in hockey when we were all 23 years old or whatever. We turned the puck over and Scott was in the rush. We turned around and we're just like all three of us are just like lugging it. And Scott looks, he skates right past all three of us and goes like this. I'll never forget it. He had a smile on his face when he was back checking. I was like, are you kidding me right now? Like, different level.
Different do you know who else was crazy good and so confident was Timu? Like, so good. So natural. Wouldn't skate all summer. Just like the guy's, he's a guy that's just, his body was built to play hockey. Like, just thick, strong.
Same with Getzlaff.
Yeah.
He showed up 3 days before training camp and hadn't skated.
He did?
Yeah. Just showed up. Came to training camp 3 days beforehand. And then on top of that, I will say that the best person that I've ever played with, like, from hands, you cannot give Chris Pronger a bad pass.
Yeah.
You could throw it at his hips. I'll get it.
Yeah, he's getting it.
Yeah. Next level. Next level. He'll bat it right down, put it right on a stick, and give it right back to you. It's incredible. Yeah.
By the way, someone did, and we totally forgot, Erik Karlsson would skate up the ice like Tim Stützle. Like, no, like zero care in the world, if you will. Like, I'm just going to do whatever I want, and no one's going to bother me.
Different, totally different edge game going on.
I think that, and I didn't mean to discredit Carl, but I think that he was different from Stützle in the fact that Stützle can move left and right.
Lateral. Yep. Yeah.
Carl's first two steps way back when.
Crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. But Carl couldn't go left or right, eh?
Well, so... But you're supposed to go north south. That was the whole point of the NHL. Tim Stützle goes left to right.
I watched Carl do the. You guys were. I was at a practice, and guys are on the. It was the blue line skate. So you're at neutral zone, and you line up on the blue line. You go to the other blue line, stop, and go back to the other blue line.
Uh-huh.
He was beating guys by 7 strides because he's so quick off the start. He was taking basically. Hit this explosive start, and then about 2, maybe 3 strides between the entire circumference of the blue lines. It was like watching a rocket take off, but a smooth one. And that's Timmy doesn't skate like that. Timmy is, like Bob said, he's more like a snake skating. He's like, he's going left side to right. to right. Carl's like a rocket.
I kind of forgot about him, but when you think about like. A player grabbing a puck from the backhand, move to the forehand, and go north.
Yeah,
Erik is.
Yeah,
there's nobody else that does it like that.
Yeah, really I used to watch him walk the blue line too. When you're talking about that, when he'd pick it up on the boards, and he'd take this one power push step off the line, and all of a sudden he was at the middle of the ice.
He's like, gone. He's gone. Gone. Yeah,
like it's so good.
But he couldn't turn. Yorkie couldn't turn.
He couldn't turn right or whatever it was. He couldn't turn in. Is that what it was?
The right pivot.
I used to like know that if I was coming down on Carl on a 2-on-1 or a 1-on-1, go to his right side. He can't turn.
You know what he started?
That's not a default. It was just like he was just so much better at the left. He was all world at one and not great at the other.
Do you know what he started doing though? When guys would go wide on him. And they try to take him wide on that right side. He just started skating forwards and would skate in front of the guy, and like take the lane and then take his puck.
He would skate to the post.
Yeah,
just skate to the post.
You cut the guy off. Yeah, he figured it out.
Yep. All right, time for lock of the day. Brought to you by Betway. Bet your way with Betway. Must be 19 plus. Please play responsibly. Go to betway.ca. Lots to do in this one if you're looking for some parlays. But, gentlemen, we need to discuss if Ottawa is going to be able to continue that win streak while ending an 0-for-6 run in Minnesota at the moment.
I hate that building.
Hmm.
35-29.
So Bob goes first.
I have to go first?
Yeah. Yeah,
they're out, right, Minnesota?
Yeah, they're done.
Yeah. The entire Western Conference is kind of set, eh?
Ottawa's loose right now. They're flying. Corpy's in a He's in a zone.
Yeah.
Minnesota is 8 points out of a playoff spot. So yeah.
Done like dinner.
I'm taking Mini.
Oh, I want to take
I know exactly what you're doing.
It's because I was going by the old analogy. It is tough to win six games in a row in the NHL.
Yeah.
Very, very tough. Yeah, I can't see Ottawa winning six in a row with that record in Minnesota. I'm going to go Minnesota too.
Holy hell. Sorry. We got some,
you got a storm coming in?
Lightning. Yeah.
Ooh, boy. So both of you are taking Minnesota?
Mini.
Yep. So I could go with the easy pick and say it'll be Minnesota, but I feel like it needs to be an Ottawa pick. Fuck. But you know what? Taking the Sens. We're going six in a row here.
I like it, Wally. Go for the home team on the road. I like it.
They won in Sweden.
Yeah.
They beat them in Sweden.
It's been, who knows with Ottawa this year? It's always a pick 'em, right? It's you just when you think you got them figured out, they do something else. But hey, it's good they're playing well. They could win this game. But I think you're the one that said it about a month ago. We're doing, and it's like, it's tough to win six in a row.
I know. We brought it up before. It's like, oh.
It's been brought up. That's the only reason I'm doing it.
It's tough to win six.
Yep. Very tough.
Especially with a team that's under 500. I get it, but we can't all pick Minnesota. That's just boring.
Yep.
You guys got me? Sorry.
You're back.
The last known Tim, Bobby is in Kansas now.
Amazing. That's amazing.
All right. Someone else, he's creating the Kansas City Scouts. Well, let's see. Is it just rain?
No, no, this is definitely not just rain. It's going to be bad. I got two dumpsters in the front of the yard, and they've both been hit by lightning in the last hour.
Come on now.
Yeah. Yeah. So
you shouldn't have moved to the top of the hill, Bob. That was the problem.
That was the problem. Anyway.
All right. Well, go take care of yourself. Be safe.
All right, guys.
See you Thursday. Special guest Thursday, 9 a.m. We will let you know later.
Yep. All right. Okay. Have a good one, fellas.
Okay. Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to Coming In Hot. If you enjoyed the show, hit that like button and be sure to subscribe to never miss an episode.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.